beautiful, beautiful selections. And they are preparing selections for the Christmas Eve service on Saturday night, December 24. So I look forward to hearing from them again. We enjoyed a great Thanksgiving. I trust yours was a good one too. Don't you always relish the smells of the season? The roast turkey and the pumpkin and spice and cranberry and cinnamon, everything nice. Max Licato tells of a time that he came home to a most delightful fragrance. Honey, what's that smell? The aroma stopped me dead in my tracks. I was a Labrador on the hunt, sniffing the air. Denalyn was impressed. I don't typically notice new smells, and the truth is I don't notice anything. I have the observation skills of a mole. Denalyn can rearrange the furniture, and if she doesn't warn me, I'll plop down on the spot where there used to be a chair and sit down on the coffee table. She's working on a book. It's entitled, I Married a Caveman. My brain does have a weak detail detection section. But that day it came to life. That fragrance in the air. The aroma wasn't the smell of food. She wasn't cooking. It wasn't perfume. She never wears it. It was, well, the fragrance of a forest on a cool fall morning. Then again, it made me think about a spice wagon at a market. Or was it the smell of the ocean? I couldn't isolate the source. Denalyn, did you buy some fresh flowers? No, she smiled. I bought some oils. Oils? I know oils. I'm the son of a mechanic. I've even been known to change the oil in my own car. You bought some Valvoline? That was caveman speaking. She produced a purse full of small little bottles. Myrrh and lavender and cassia, spikenard, cinnamon, sandalwood. You'd have thought she'd befriended a merchant on the back roads of Jerusalem. She had diffused them into our house. She had applied them on her skin. She had even put some in the water. And she'd put some in mine, too, though I didn't notice. Turns out she'd become quite the student of essential oils. They're considered the most ancient natural health product, and for several thousand years, people all over the world have been extracting these liquids from herbs and flowers and fruits. And apparently they help us sleep and relax and digest, focus, stay energized. Greta gave me some peppermint oil to help clear and ease my throat before I get into the pulpit, which I just used. Also, we have a blend of frankincense and myrrh in our home to symbolically anoint another person in prayer before surgery or when ill, according to Scripture. Do oils really help? I'm no expert, but do oils help us understand the energizing power of the Holy Spirit? Yes, you bet your sweet cinnamon they do. Anointing oil is often a symbol of the presence of God's Spirit. You recall the story of David? Samuel took a flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. 1 Samuel 16:13. God gave this instruction to Elijah. Anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. 1 Kings 19:16. God instructed Moses in Exodus 28 and 29, clothe your brother Aaron and the sons with these garments, and then anoint and ordain them, consecrate them so that they can serve as my priests. Cleanse the altar by purifying it, making it holy by anointing it with oil. This worship stanza was offered to Jesus. God poured fragrant oil on your head, marking you out as king, far above your dear companions. That's Hebrews 1:9. Jesus began his ministry by announcing, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." Do you see the interplay between oil and anointing and the Holy Spirit? Anointing oil is a metaphor for the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us, and he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." God poured out upon you not oil in that little bottle, but the power providing, heart healing oil of the Holy Spirit. Your life has been consecrated, dedicated, embrocated with the Spirit of God. You know the word? I had to look it up. Embrocate. It means to moisten and rub a part of the body with a liquid often used to relieve pain. Was that not God's promise? "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Romans 5:5 in our text. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That verb, pour, deserves to be highlighted. God doesn't distribute the Spirit in an eyedropper or a tablespoon. There's no suggestion of a dab or a sprinkle, a splash, an occasional drop. We are saved through the washing of the Holy Spirit, whom he, God, poured out. Titus 3, 5 and 6. He douses us with himself. Exodus 2:29, he does what Moses did, has told us to do with Aaron. "You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him." The era of this command was like 1300 BC. 2 million Hebrews were finally free from Egyptian captivity, and a civilization was born. Through Moses, God instructed the Israelites on every detail of life, especially the details of the tabernacle, which foreshadowed the temple. Aaron and his sons were selected to be served as priests. Their ordination could hardly have been much more elaborate. Special headdresses, tunics, clothing had been stitched together. And then when everything was completed, God gave this instruction to Moses, found in Exodus 30, beginning at verse 23. "Take the finest spices, 12 pounds of liquid myrrh, half that amount, that is 6 pounds of sweet-smelling cinnamon, 6 pounds of sweet-smelling cane, 12 pounds of cassia. Weigh all these things by the holy Paris, place, measure. Also take 4 quarts of olive oil and mix all these things like a perfume to make a holy olive oil. This special oil must be put on people and things to make them ready for service to God." Max says, I showed this passage to my resident oil expert. "Denalyn, let's replicate this concoction. Where can we buy 12 pounds of myrrh and 6 pounds of cinnamon and 6 pounds of cane and 12 pounds of cassia?" She gave me that I married a caveman look again. She explained the myrrh alone would cost over $3,000. Well, maybe we could calculate the amount they used. We converted the Bible's measurements to liquid equivalents, gallons instead of pounds, and next we tallied the total amount of the oil prescribed. It was roughly the equivalent of 6 gallons. I envisioned a 5-gallon cooler that's emptied on the winning football coach. This was no small amount of oil. Moses was told to pour it over the utensils of the tabernacle so that they would be soaked in holiness. Next came the anointing of Aaron and his son. The anointing oil was poured on Aaron's head, ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Psalm 133:2. The man was marinated, is Max's comment. Oil saturated his beard, seeped into the pores of his skin. It moistened his hair, rolled down the middle of his back, dripped from the hem of his garment to the ground. And the oil changed more than his scent. It demarcated his assignment. Anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrate them so that they can serve me as priests. They were consecrated for a purpose. They carried upon them God's special favor. They bore a unique authority. And can you imagine how they must have felt? I so hope you can, because even a greater anointing has come upon you. Do you understand what happened on the day of your conversion? Grace covered you. Yes, the tent of God's sovereignty was stretched over you. Yes, the pathway to heaven was laid out before you. And yes, you were anointed by the Holy Spirit. You have been consecrated for holy work. 1 John 2:20, reading out of the Amplified. You have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specially gifted, and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because He teaches us. He illuminates our minds. He guards us from error. Wow. From the perspective of heaven, the gift of the Spirit is the greatest gift imaginable. In a stunning statement, Jesus told His followers that it was to their advantage that for Him to go away. John 16:7, His departure would trigger the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And what could be better than the presence of Jesus beside them? To be able to ask Jesus questions, to hear His teaching, to watch His actions, to have Jesus near you? Could anything be better? Something could. The Spirit within you. Jesus limited Himself to a physical body. He could only be in one place at a time, but the Holy Spirit is unlimited. He can be everywhere, all the time. Jesus was a regional force. The Holy Spirit is a global force. There is no place that He is not. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. From Psalm 139:7-8. God has so doused you with His Spirit that you can never be where He is not. God has decreed you to be special to Him. You are unique among people. You're part of the priesthood. 1 Peter 2:5. He soaked you with Himself. So bask in that blessing. Don't grade yourself according to the inches of your waist or the square footage of your house or the color of your skin or the label on your clothing or the presence of awards. You're above all that. You are not the sum total of your salary or your Instagram followers. Your value doesn't depend on your car, or your drive, or the jewelry you wear. You have been appointed and anointed by the Holy Spirit. And this this anointing changes everything. I've always had a warm spot in my heart for Moody Church in Chicago, mostly because that's where my Catholic grandmother came to know the Lord. In William Moody's book on the life of Dwight L. Moody, he shares this. In the summer of 1871, two women of Dwight L. Moody's congregation felt an unusual burden to pray for him. Quote, that the Lord would give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost and of fire. Moody would see them praying on the front row, and he was irritated. But soon he gave in, and he began to pray with them every Friday afternoon. He felt as though his ministry was becoming just sounding brass without power. And on November 24th, 1871, Moody's church building was destroyed in that great Chicago fire. And he went to New York trying to raise some financial help, and day and night he walked the streets desperate for the touch of God's power in his life. And then suddenly, I quote, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love, I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me all the world, it would be as the small dust of the balance. God offers this anointing to all of us. When you pray or preach or prophesy, simply live out your faith. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit's presence. Lean into him. You grow weary, but the Spirit never does. Your understanding is limited, but the Spirit has unsearchable wisdom. You can't see the future, but the Spirit is as present tomorrow as he is today. You may be puzzled by circumstances or befuddled, bewildered, but the Spirit never is. And because he is in you, you have power that you would never have had without him. Max Lucado leaned into this promise some time back. He recalls, a dear friend spent an hour describing his frustration with his father. The two were in business together, and the father had made some questionable decisions, and my friend was very aggravated, and I was confused. No money had been lost. No opportunities had been squandered. Why was he so agitated? I didn't know what to say, so I simply listened. I prayed, Lord, what is going on here? Why is my friend so bothered? A word came to my mind. Grief. That's it, I said to myself. And I told my friend, you aren't angry at your dad. You are grieving his demise. The mantle is being transferred from his shoulders to yours. And the truth is, you are sad. You're going to miss him. The words found their mark. My friend began to weep. The Holy Spirit ministered through me. All I did was believe that the Spirit was present and trust that my anointing was sufficient for the task. Do the same. The Holy Spirit will give you whatever you need to do to accomplish the holy work He has called you to do. Why was the ministry of Jesus so mighty? Because God gave Him the Spirit without measure. John 3:34. Would God not do the same with us? He's no miser. He doesn't parcel out and ration the Spirit in bits and pieces. He doesn't parcel Himself out in increments. Scrooge? No. Generous? Yes. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is God's will for you. Ephesians 3:16, I ask the Father in His great glory to give you the power to be strong inwardly through His Spirit. Don't neglect your anointing. God set you apart for special work. He poured His Spirit upon you. So receive Him, believe Him, and leave oily footprints wherever you go. Selah.